This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
Recently, former President Donald Trump, who's running for re-election, said if NATO countries don't pay up, then he'll just say to Russia, have at it. Do whatever you want to these NATO countries.
Everyone that I know is outraged by the comment.
That's Kurt Volker, the former U.S. ambassador to NATO. And NATO countries are speaking out.
Rest assured that NATO is militarily stronger than it has ever been.
Christian Prik is Estonia's ambassador to the U.S.
And there is no doubt whatsoever when it comes to the individual and collective commitment of NATO countries.
Coming up on this episode from WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm J.J. Green. No doubt you know by now the comments that former President Donald Trump made during a campaign rally in South Carolina recently, where he said, essentially, if NATO countries don't pay the prescribed amount, that if Russia attacked them, he would say, Russia, do whatever you want. So we've got two important interviews today, one with the former U.S. ambassador to NATO, Kurt Volker, who's up first. He'll talk about this, and then we'll talk with the ambassador from Estonia to the U.S. His name is Christian Prik, and he comes after Ambassador Volker. But these are two very important conversations. Thank you for taking time to chat with us today.
When you
think about what it is that President Trump said a couple of days ago, which was that he had a conversation with someone, and we're assuming it's a diplomat in a NATO country, about paying dues and or paying what they should pay in terms of, you know, the percentage of their GDP. What happens if they can't pay? And he says, if you can't pay, then basically he would say something on the order of Russia can do whatever the hell they want to do. How is that impacting your friends, the people that you know that live in NATO countries?
Yeah, well, everyone that I know is outraged by the comment, partly because, you know, it's one thing to say that countries should pay their share of defense expenditure, 2% of GDP on defense. Everyone agrees with that. They accept that. They recognize that not all European countries do it. But to take it a step further and to suggest that their countries should be attacked, that Russia should do to them what they're doing in Ukraine, committing war crimes, killing civilians, raping, abducting children. No one should wish that on anyone. And it is outrageous to suggest that, you know, Putin should do something like that, and they take offense at that.
How do you believe Putin is taking something like that, that comment?
Well, I think he loves it. I think he loves to see the divisions that this displays within NATO. It's what he's always been about, is to try to sow divisions within NATO, to weaken NATO through those kinds of divides. And by having this kind of acrimony and distrust within the alliance, it's exactly what he wants.
Ambassador, I know that a foreign intelligence agency has produced a report that, if not out already, will be out soon, that indicates Russia's probably planning for a war with NATO within the next few years. And how do you think that statement coming from the president tracks when you look at the fact that NATO countries expect Putin to try to start a war with NATO pretty soon.
Yeah. So we have to remember the whole purpose of NATO is to prevent war. That we founded NATO in 1949 when we were looking at Stalin and a divided Germany and the risk that the Soviet Union was going to try to take over more and more of Europe. So democratic countries in Western Europe, the US and Canada, banded together to say, we're all going to fight together. And by saying so, we make it clear that the costs for any aggressor would be too high. They won't attack. And that has worked. It has worked for 75 years now. There has never been a major attack on a NATO country other than terrorists on 9/11. So that has been tremendously successful. To then break that up and say, no, we're actually not sure. We may not come to defend you if you haven't paid your share. NATO is actually divided. You weaken the underpinnings of security in Europe for everybody. And Putin looks at that and says, well, that's exactly what I want. Then I have a free hand to go attack or take whatever I want. If I could comment on that intelligence report you say may be coming out too, I've heard about that. Russia has a plan now to man up its army to a size of 1.5 million people under arms. That is absolutely huge. And that is not necessary for Russia's war against Ukraine. That is thinking about a bigger war. So we should be doing everything we can to convey resolve and determination and capability that we will, in fact, defend ourselves against any attack in order to convince Putin it is not worth it. Otherwise, with a 1.5 million man army and building new types of equipment, he may be tempted to see what he can take.
What is it about some American politicians at this point who seem to think that maybe Mr. Trump isn't serious about this? There was one particular sitting senator who's a member of the intelligence community who suggested, I think on the Sunday shows over the weekend, that, the president's said some things before, but he wouldn't really go this far. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that may be right. You know, we saw Trump's presidency before. He always had nice things to say about Vladimir Putin, who's a war criminal. And yet he also took tough policies against Russia and supported Ukraine. So it is hard to predict what Trump will do. But that's kind of beside the point, in my view, as well, that these words matter. The U.S. should be providing leadership within NATO. We should be making our adversaries concerned about wanting to attack. We should make our allies feel that we are strong together and that the U.S. is leading this. That is the position you want to create, even if you do discount that Trump might actually not go through with what he says. You shouldn't be saying it to begin with.
Yeah, part of the reason why I asked that question was the Fiona Hill comment during her Senate testimony not too terribly long ago when she warned about this fiction that people on the Hill seemingly were following when it came to Russia and who did what in terms of Russia and Ukraine. And there was this ambivalence amongst many of the sitting members up there, or some of them, I should say, even though they knew what U.S. intelligence was saying. So this is my question. I mean, where do people find that room for ambivalence? Why do they find it, considering this situation and just how serious it could be? Could it be that they just don't take it that seriously?
I think you have to start, JJ, any elected politician is thinking about their own political circumstances, their own political environment. And if you have President Trump, who has a hold on at least a third of the Republican voters, if not more, that's going to be a factor for them. They don't want to be seen to be directly opposing President Trump. So they don't want to get into these discussions about Russia and aggression and what does Trump mean when he says this or that. They just want to avoid that. And I think, you know, the senator that you talked about who spoke over the weekend, I think he was deliberately trying to play down the issue so that he can move on. He doesn't want to talk about it. I don't think it means that he actually thinks that what Trump said is okay.
Okay. Well, Ambassador Kurt Volker, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to hear you speak and to give us some great understanding of some complex issues. So thank you.
Well, JJ, it's always a pleasure to be with you. You do a great job. Thank you.
And now, our discussion with Estonia's ambassador to the U.S., Kristjan Priik. Ambassador Kristjan Priik, thank you for taking time to speak with us today. One of the things that's very interesting about NATO is that NATO was designed to be an entity that would protect all of its members. If one member was attacked, all members would be protected. That's Article 5 of the NATO Charter. Over the weekend, our former president said something to the effect that if member states don't pay, then he would say to Russia, do whatever the hell you want. I know that is incredibly insensitive and hard to hear, but what I'm really interested in hearing from you are your thoughts about the importance of NATO to Estonia.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Thank you, JJ, for having us and asking me to discuss a topic that is so very important, not only for Estonian diplomats or civil servants or politicians, but something that every Estonian really cares about, every Estonian pays attention to. After all, our membership in NATO and the collective defense guarantee and commitment to which we are also party to is in the very core, in the very center of the let's say the identity, the DNA of our nation, of our country. Estonia had the unfortunate destiny of being occupied and annexed by the Soviet Union between 1940 and 1991. And one of the key takeaways, the key lessons learned that our nation made after this horrible period of time ended was can be summarized under the slogan never alone again. So our nation, our governments, different political parties all worked to make sure that that we regain our place among the countries in the transatlantic community. And we make sure that we are always there when our allies need our help, so that when we might need the help of our friends and allies, they are also there. So again, NATO, the fact that NATO has been the most successful military alliance in the world, the alliance that has kept the transatlantic space, not just Europe, but also the United States and Canada in peace for the past 75 years is so very deep in our DNA that without that, Estonia would certainly not be the country that it is right now.
How do you think your counterparts in other countries are feeling today after hearing those remarks from a man who could be president again of the United States? How are your counterparts feeling, do you think? I'm sure you haven't had the time to speak to all of them, but or I'm not even sure if you've spoken to any of them. But I'm wondering how someone sitting in your chair in another from another country might be feeling at this point.
I cannot speculate too much, but I'm sure I'm not the only one today who has been approached by the journalists. I'm not the only one of the ambassadors in Washington that have been asked a lot of questions from the Capitol. And certainly, I don't want to go too much into the U.S. Domestic politics or to the domestic politics of any country, for that matter. But but I'm pretty confident that the number of ambassadors that have been approached by either media and or by their own foreign ministries or their other government officials is not only limited to those countries that are members of NATO, but certainly also countries, other countries in the world that pay very close attention to the Western Alliance, so to say.
I would imagine, based on what Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said, the NATO members are together, regardless of who is leading what country or any country. The NATO members are going to stick together. Can you give us a sense of, especially with this war going on right now in Ukraine, of how important that statement is?
Secretary General Stoltenberg, certainly with his experience as the Prime Minister of Norway formerly, and his long tenure as the Secretary General of NATO right now, has a very good sense of what keeps the alliance together, as well as what motivates the countries to be the members of the alliance. And I would say that behind his words is this long experience and wisdom, and also the understanding how NATO works. After all, no country has joined NATO because they were forced to. No country joined NATO because someone else told them to be part of this alliance. But every country joined NATO because they felt that this organization was serving their critical national interests in the best way. That this particular organization is something that that provides long-term security and thus also prosperity to their nations. The beauty of NATO collective defense clause, the so-called Article 5 of the Washington Treaty of 1949, is that this Article 5 foresees the possibility that all the NATO countries collectively and individually take steps to defend their ally or allies. So this is very certain that among the NATO allies, there is no doubt whether whether the Article 5 is still there, whether whether and whether whether NATO is still relevant in terms of their these countries' national interests.
Finally, what message do you want to send if this message or if this program made its way to the screens in front of Russian President Putin or anyone connected to the Russian government? What message would you want to send considering the situation that we're now discussing?
You know, in Estonia, when it comes to security and national security issues as such, we, rather than focusing on individual statements here and there, we and focusing only on other countries' you know, political campaigns or policy proposals, we really try to keep focused, be vigilant, and also composed. And based on my own experience, which is several years working on NATO related issues, many years working with our allies here in the States but also elsewhere, my very strong I have a very strong level of confidence that that no country should underestimate NATO in terms of the military capabilities that this alliance brings together, but maybe even more importantly, the will of the will to defend freedom of the alliance, to will to stick together whenever there is a problem out there. So certainly Russian leadership should rest assured that NATO is militarily stronger than it has ever been, and there is no doubt whatsoever when it comes to the individual and collective commitment of NATO countries, when it comes to standing up for freedom and for our allies. I personally don't have any trouble believing that. I sleep like a baby when people ask me, and I'm confident that this will continue this way.
All right. Ambassador, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Ambassador Kristjan Prick from Estonia, Estonia's ambassador to the U.S. Thank you.
Thank you, JJ, very much for having me.
That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, Americans and other Westerners are advised not to go to Russia. Luke Harding, a reporter for The Guardian from London, did it and ended up under constant surveillance.
It involved curious young men wearing cheap black leather jackets following me around the streets of Moscow.
And they weren't trying to cover their tracks.
Sitting next to me in restaurants.
Even the home of the best-selling author who's written books critical of Vladimir Putin was invaded.
We had a series of break-ins at our family apartment where I live with my wife and my two small kids.
He was unaware until the British Embassy advised him about it.
So these were break-ins by the FSB, the Federal Security Service. This happened all the time, particularly against Americans and Brits who were very, very hated.
And that hatred could land you in prison, like Paul Whelan, Evan Gershkovich, and now Ksenia Karolina. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the SCIF, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm J.J. Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.